Greetings and thoughts in the name of Jesus. It's the final part of our four-part series, Outside the Box. In part one, we talked about getting out of our comfort zone. Part two was about being led by the Lord. And part three was about obedience to the Lord. Well, part four is called Beware of the Traps of Tradition. Let's look at the word trap. By definition, it says something by which one is caught or stopped unawares. Also, a position or situation from which it is difficult or impossible to escape. Now let's look at the word tradition. First definition says an inherited, established, or customary pattern of thought, action, or behavior, such as religious practice or social custom. In parentheses, it says. Number two, belief or story, or a body of beliefs or stories relating to the past that are commonly accepted as historical, though not verifiable. And number three, the handing down of information, beliefs, and customs by word of mouth or by example from one generation to another without written instruction. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 15. Let's pick up on verse 1. It says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. All right, now let's look at this. Right out of the gate, we see tradition of the elders. You see, the elders are respected and probably even looked up to, right? There are elders in churches today, you know, and in leadership positions, just as in Jesus's time. Let's look at the definition of what an elder is. An elder, number one, of earlier birth or greater age. Number two, prior or superior in rank, office or validity, goodness. Number three, one living in an earlier period. Number four, one who is older, an aged person. Number five, one having authority by virtue of age and experience. And number six, any of various officers of religious groups. Now, we see age is mentioned quite a bit, isn't it? The Pharisees and scribes said tradition of the elders. Now, let's take a look at the word transgress. By definition, transgress. Number one, to violate a command or law. And then it has sin in bold letters. Number two, to go beyond a boundary or limit. Number three, to go beyond limits set or prescribed by. Then it has in bold letters, violate. And number four, to pass beyond or go over, in parentheses, a limit or boundary. So according to the scribes and Pharisees, the disciples of Jesus violated the boundaries, limits of the elders. Let that simmer for a second or two. Now, if we look at the first definition, it includes the word sin, doesn't it? They said that the disciples of Jesus sinned because they didn't wash their hands before they ate bread. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a very serious charge now, isn't it? Think about that. You are a sinner because you didn't wash your hands? Man, how many things today are being called a sin according to man, but not God? Back to scripture, verse 3. He answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are words of Jesus. You see, we got to beware of the traps of tradition. Be careful not to transgress the commandments of God because of man-made traditions. When it comes to the Word of God, someone's age or experience does not stand above God's Word. No way. Man-made traditions that exclude God and His Word must, and I repeat, must be avoided. Don't fall for it, children of God. Remember what Jesus says in this passage as we go along. You see, man will find a way, and we hear it, we see it, we hear it, and we see it. Man will find a way to say that his ways are better and smarter than God's ways. Just look in front of you and around the world. Mankind believes that he has all the answers to all the problems that are present in today's world. He is deceived. Only our Father in heaven has all the answers. You see, he sent the answer in the form of Jesus, his Son. And even today, like in old times, he is being rejected by mankind and their traditions and beliefs. Let's look at a few examples. For example, you know, there are some churches out there, and I've driven and I've seen these on billboards saying that there are many ways to God in heaven. Imagine that. This is what the billboard on this church says. But you see, the Word of God says in John 16, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Now I got to ask you, why would someone just flat out lie about that? Did they not read John 14:6? I don't know. But that's why we are to follow Jesus and not man. How many out there are far from him? They are far from him because of their man-made traditions. Back to the scripture, verse 10. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, "Hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth defiles a man." You see, what Jesus said about what defiles, it's different from what these guys are talking about. Jesus said what comes out of the mouth. You see, God's word talks about the mouth and what comes out quite a bit, doesn't it? In Proverbs 18:21, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Psalm 10:7 says, "His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and oppression. Under his tongue is trouble and iniquity." In Psalm 34:13, it says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." And you know, there's so much more in the Word of God that talks about our mouth and our tongue and how powerful our words are. Back to the scripture, verse 12. Then his disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch." You guys hear that? You see, some will be offended. Some will be offended by what you say and what you stand for. But you know what? You stand with Jesus. You stand with the Word of God. You see, because Jesus is very clear when he says, "Let them alone." What does that mean? Leave them alone, you guys. Stop it. Leave them. They are blind leaders of the what? Blind. And the blind leads the blind. Both will fall into the ditch. Jesus says both will fall. You guys, don't get caught up by following these blind leaders out here because they say a good thing. It may sound good, but is it what God is saying? If it's not what God is saying, run, run, run. You see, don't get trapped by man-made traditions that exclude God. The word says both will fall into a ditch. Verse 15, then Peter answered and said to him, "Explain this parable to us." So Jesus said, "Are you still without understanding?" I love that question mark. "Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man? For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You see, the Pharisees and scribes, they said that Jesus' disciples were transgressing against the elders, which can mean sin. They're saying they were sinners. Jesus says, no, the unwashed hands does not make you a sinner. Does not make you a sinner. Now I want to go back and revisit. Let's just revisit what man says against what the Word of God says. You know, in today's world, they're calling bad things good and good things bad. We hear it constantly. It's plastered everywhere you look. It's there. You know, they say there are multiple genders. Come on, man, that's nonsense. It's very clear in Genesis 1:27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. You see that? The Word of God says male and female. I don't know about you, but I count two. One, two. Male, one. Female, two. You see, as a child of God, stand in faith by the Word of God. Even if the people feel offended, we must stand with God. You see, we got to answer to him, not to the people. We are saved by his blood, not theirs. He gives us salvation and life. They don't. How about this one? Here's more. Genesis 1:28 says, be fruitful and multiply. Now, you know, Steve and Steve can't multiply. You know, Adam and Adam can't multiply. You know, Sarah and Sarah can't multiply. Leviticus 18:22 says, you shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. You see, same-sex man-made traditions and things of today do not line up with God's word. His word is very clear and needs our interpretation. You see, some man-made traditions are based upon lifestyle or how they see fit, but not the word of God. Beware of the traps of tradition. They can cause us to sin against God. Now, Holy Spirit just gave me this. This will not be in the visual, but it's going to be in the audio. He just gave me this, Acts chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 32. Now, I'm going to read from the One New Man Bible. And it says, and the multitudes of believers were of one heart and mind, and no one was saying that his possessions were his own, but they were common to them all. What is that saying? You guys know what that's saying. It's not mine, it's ours. It's not mine, it's ours. It's not mine, it's ours. One heart, one mind, and no one was saying that his possessions were his own, but common to them all. Verse 33, and the apostles were given out testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, the Lord Yeshua, and great power and great favor was on them all. You see, they were talking about Jesus. Not only were they saying, this is not mine, it's all of ours. They were talking about Jesus. They weren't talking about some of this nonsense that's going on now. Who's dressed the best? What kind of car you got? What kind of house you got? And all that nonsense out there. They were talking about Jesus. And what the word says, it says, great favor was on them all. In fact, it says, not any among them was needy. Did you guys hear that? Check that out. Acts chapter 4, verse 34. Read it for yourself. And in fact, not any among them was needy, for as many as were possessing properties or houses, as they sold the things, they brought the prices of the sales and were putting the money beside the feet of the apostles, and it was being distributed to each to the degree that had a need. You see, it was being distributed according to the need. So let's say this house have 12 mouths to feed, and there's another house that has 4 mouths to feed. No way should the house with 4 mouths to feed get upset because the other house has more. They have more mouths to feed. All you gotta do is go back to Exodus, and these guys are lining up just how God designed it. Remember when he gave the manna? The things he said, take what you need. Because the Bible says that he who had a lot and he who had a little, no one lacked. That's in Exodus. And you see what the early church is doing right here in Acts. Look at how they're doing this, you guys. We're not seeing this in today's world. We are not seeing this today in today's body of Christ. Verse 36, and Joseph, the one who was called Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite, a Cypriot by birth, when he sold a field owned by him, he brought the money and placed it at the feet of the apostles. A certain man named Ananias, this is Acts 5:1, with his wife Sapphira, sold property and kept back the payment, while his wife was also fully aware. And then he brought part and placed it beside the feet of the apostles. And Peter said, Ananias, by what means did Satan fill your heart for you to have lied to the Holy Spirit and to have kept back from the price of the property? Verse 4, while it remained unsold, was it not remaining yours until you sold it by your authority? Why did you place this deed in your heart? You see, you did not lie to men, but to God. You guys hear that? Peter set this guy straight. He didn't cover it up by saying, hey, it's okay. We understand you're going through some things, or, you know, hey, blah, 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 blah. He said, no, you did not lie to men, but to God. And when Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And hear this, a great fear came upon all those who heard. You see, today there's no fear of God. The fear of God needs to be instilled. You see this example? The fear of God. The fear was there. It says, then the young men got up, covered him, and after they carried him out, buried him. Verse 5, 7. And it was about a 3-hour interval when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. She has no idea this has happened to her husband. And Peter declared to her, you must tell me if you sold the field for such. And she said, indeed, for such. Peter said to her, why was it agreed between you to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who buried your husband are at the door. They will carry you out. And she fell at once at his feet and expired. And when the young men came in, they found her dead, and after they carried her out, they buried her beside her husband. And great fear was upon the whole congregation and upon all those who heard these things. I'm going to read verse 11 again, verse 5:11 of Acts. And great fear was upon the whole congregation and upon all those who heard these things. You see, Peter at the time was what? The pastor, the leader, the apostles. These guys are the ones in charge. And he doesn't sit there and hug these guys and give them a story to make them feel good about stealing from God. He tells them the truth. He said, look, you lied to God. You're stealing from God. And what happened? They dropped dead right where they stood. And everybody heard about it, and the word says there was great fear. You see, as leaders, as pastors, we got to stop masking and hiding things and speak the truth. We have to speak the truth, you guys. Speak the truth to them. Our closing scripture is John 8:32, which says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what Jesus said. Now, these disciples spoke the truth, and we see that the whole congregation was in fear. And we do not read about another example of this again, now do we? You see, God's word is a truth. And anyone who says different, well, may God have mercy on them. But you, child of God, stand in faith. Stand in the word of God. You see, because he sees and he knows everything, everything. Man doesn't. Man just doesn't get it. He thinks he knows. He thinks he gets it, but he does not. We got to get outside the box of man-made things and into the things of faith by the word of the living God. So leave your comfort zone. Wait for God's instructions. Obey God's instructions and beware of the traps of tradition. Now you are outside the box. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord move through your life. Glory to the Most High God, our Father in heaven. Prayers of boldness in Christ Jesus overtake you to move forward in Jesus' name. Pastor Tyron signing off and saying God bless you and thank you.